Pacifico, Phil Henry.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They just watch us wander out there into the field of fire, but we always return with the scalp. I don't know what that meant, but that's a nice way to kick things off, I think. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and it is there that with a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show right now, live from the El Pacifico, and behind me, the roiling surf of the Pacific Ocean here in the evening hours. We're on from 10 on the Pacific Coast, but of course later on the East Coast. You can join us at 9:15 for our uncensored pre-show. And when I say uncensored, it's all of that colorful language. And but really the best part about the uncensored pre-show are the uncensored thoughts that we have. All right, which I can't go into right now because we'd have to censor them. On the line with me is Herb Sewell, and before we tell you anything about the story that we're going to be talking about tonight, and it's a story that you're familiar with, it's the continued holding of George Zimmerman on this second-degree murder rap. The news now is he may be released on bail Friday, tomorrow. Mr. Sewell himself has been incarcerated. He was at a forensic hospital, which at one time was known as a hospital for the criminally insane, I think is what they used to call these places. He was at Atascadero here in California as the result of his arrest and conviction on child molestation charges, trafficking in child pornography, assault. He spent 9 years at Atascadero undergoing a variety of therapies and is now out and has been for the last several years and contributes to our show when it comes to issues having to do with crime and punishment and other legal issues. And Herb, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And, you know, every time I introduce you, obviously I have to go through a big preamble because that's some pretty terrible stuff that you did.
There's absolutely no question, and I don't want the perception at all to be that I'm not recognizing, I'm not aware of the severity of these crimes that I committed.
And would you say that you are, to the extent that we can believe in rehabilitation, rehabilitated?
Well, I can tell you that I continue to undergo psychiatric treatment as well as psychological counseling. I am currently at a halfway house. I'm under a very, very strict supervision. Obviously, the parameters given my parole and the probation from the court, all of these, if violated, would remand me back to custody. So I'm certainly very aware of what can happen if I am if I run afoul of these things. Secondly, to the extent, Phil, that anyone will believe me, and I hope that they do, but I can understand that they won't or that they would not. I can assure you that with the awareness of the severity of these crimes also comes, in my mind, the desire to continue to modify my behavior. You get a lot of people who tell you, well, I don't believe him. You know, he's an accident waiting to happen.
Well, there is a lot of recidivism. There's a lot of guys like you that do go back to jail.
I understand that, but I do pride myself, I think, on being a little bit more intelligent than perhaps the average offender. I'm not trying to say that I'm something special, but I do value very much my freedom. And I'm not at all desirous of returning to jail. So I do appreciate the opportunity to come on your program, and I also, of course, appreciate the opportunity of things I do as a research assistant for the different universities.
Now, you work as a research assistant. You do all of it is telecommuting, right?
That is correct. Yes.
So, in other words, you're on your computer, and you're what are you doing?
Well, I, as a research assistant, obviously I'm researching. I'm using library materials as well as online materials, looking up and collating and collecting information for different departments and personnel at the different institutions of higher learning. It might have something to do with a class that's being presented. It might have something to do with research material that's being needed in a laboratory test of some kind. So I'm simply just you could call me sort of a library gopher. But it's work that I can do you know, here in my room and working on my computer.
All right, so let's talk about George Zimmerman, because that's what I told people we were going to discuss. Have you followed this?
I have followed it, yes.
What do you think of this guy, Mr. Zimmerman?
Well, I think that he, you know, I don't want to, I think he's a very humorous person. I shouldn't say that, because he murdered, they say he murdered someone. Now, I'm not going to comment on the guilt or innocence ban, because I do believe that the court should sort that out. But I will tell you this. I think that his behavior is rather de rigueur. That is, I don't see anything in his behavior that is any different from these self-appointed kinds of cops. You know, this guy's playing cop. I mean, let's just say what it was. There's no shame in that. When you go out and you play cop because you want to be some kind of lawman, you know, you see yourself, you're going down the street like you was a man in history, Wyatt Earp, you know.
Like the guy, yeah, the shootout at the O.K. Corral.
The shootout at the O.K. Corral, yes. And some of these people, well, that in their fantasy, I suppose that's all well and good. But I dare say to go into life and to act in that manner and to provoke an incident, which I think he did do, I think it's about as ridiculous, and I think it's plainly what happened. Now, you would ask me about his incarceration.
Well, the thing that I want to find out about here is, you said you didn't want to judge his guilt or innocence. It sounds to me like you think he's guilty.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he is. I what I'm telling you is, I think he acted like a fool. I think his behavior was that of, as I said, one of these wannabe cops. It was clownish. It was embarrassing. I can't put enough words on it to describe just what a dunce, more than anything else, this man is. Now, how he got a concealed permit, and I will tell you this, by the way. You know, I think people in Florida, if they listen to the program, they're like, thank your lucky stars that I was an offender in California, because if I were down in Florida right now, my God, I don't know what would be the parameters.
Well, I dare say we probably would get some calls from Floridians right now saying you would, if you showed your face out on the street, they'd shoot you.
Oh, well, yes, I know all the tough talk. I've heard all the, believe me, I spent 9 years in prison, so there's not a whole lot of that sort of neighborhood chit-chat that impresses me. But I will tell you, and I mean this very seriously, George Zimmerman has a problem. And unless he looks at this very creatively, he's going to continue to have a problem.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Herb Sewell, a man who had been incarcerated at Atascadero's Forensic Hospital, who is now a free man on probation. He had been arrested for child pornography, which I did not know.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I didn't know that was part of the charges, as well as child molestation, as well as just these horrible crimes, Herb.
No, I'm not denying that at all.
No, I want people to know that you're aware of that as well as I am. Now, here is the question. George Zimmerman getting out of jail, some people are saying, and by getting out of jail, I mean making bond and getting out on Friday, some people are saying the guy is not going to be safe. What do you say?
Well, here is my thought on that. George Zimmerman getting out of jail, and people saying, well, he's not going to be safe. Let me tell you, if I were George Zimmerman, this is how I would view that. And this may be his only saving grace. This may very well save George Zimmerman. It's hard for me to put this into words, but this might very well rehabilitate his image. And here it is. If George Zimmerman leaves jail, and George Zimmerman is attacked or assaulted by any one of a number of factions of people that are angry at him for these events that we've been reading so much about, you recognize, and I hope George Zimmerman recognizes, that automatically gives him the moral high ground. You see what I'm saying?
When you say the moral high ground, what do you mean?
I mean that if George Zimmerman becomes the object of attack, if George Zimmerman becomes the object of someone attempting to physically assault, injure, or, God forbid, something worse, George Zimmerman will reclaim the moral high ground that he lost that night as he was attempting to, in his fevered brain, protect the citizens of Tombstone, you know, whatever it was he thought he was doing, and he would be now. He would have the moral high ground
because he's been attacked by a mob.
Well, not so much a mob, but he'd been attacked. So the people that decried the violence, now all of a sudden are the instruments, if you will, of violence. See? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think is. I find that to be very interesting. I think it's fascinating. I think that we should let it play out. I think that.
Well, what you're doing now is you're saying that George Zimmerman is going to be a little experiment for you. God knows what's going to happen to the guy.
Well, I think that the man right now, Phil, has lost that people don't like. There's a lot of people don't like him. He goes out there. Who cares what happens to George? It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But who cares what happens to George Zimmerman? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I do. And people who are law-abiding citizens do.
So you support him?
No, I don't necessarily support him at all. But I don't want to see the guy. I don't want to see our system of justice handed over to a mob. I don't want to see a lynch mob.
Exactly. You don't want to see a lynch mob. And people like you will be shocked if someone tries something to harm George Zimmerman. When I was thinking about this, and I thought very long and hard about it, because I knew I was going to come on your program, I thought, my God, the man has a ready-made defense if he can suffer an assault and survive it.
Well, so what are you saying? You're saying go out there, George, and see if someone assaults you?
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying, if it happened, no, I would not. I would not advise the man to go look for it, but, my God, is there any doubt that there are people who might be gunning for him?
Yeah, and he may not survive it.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, let's take a look at a man who...
All right, first, I got to take a break here, okay?
All right, but I wanted to bring up another man that we know who did not survive an assault.
Okay, no, just hold on. 877-876-PHIL, Herb Sewell with us on the case of George Zimmerman, who may make bond tomorrow. And Herb is saying that if George Zimmerman is out on bail and everybody says, well, where can he go to be safe? Herb's saying... Even if he isn't safe, even if he gets assaulted, it gives him the moral high ground again. He would be a victim, just like Trayvon Martin. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You understand what I'm saying?
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with us is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell, a former inmate at Atascadero, where he was incarcerated for child molestation, child pornography. And you were there for a reason, Herb. You were not just in a regular prison, you were in a forensic hospital. Because why?
Well, I was at the time I was deemed to be obviously a psychopath, but that's not treatable. At the time, they felt you could treat a psychopathic personality, and they know now you can't really treat.
Are you a psychopath?
Well, I think that I lack in certain areas I do lack a sort of empathy. Although I will tell you that I have had empathetic moments that have been actually destroyed by society.
In what way?
Well, since I left the prison, there have been times when I might see a child in danger or doing something that is dangerous. And I've had empathetic moments where I might want to say, well, I need to go help that child or guide that child to a safer place, but I don't do it for two reasons. Number one, I would get into very serious trouble in violating the terms of my parole, and I would also, engender the criticism of society in general. People would be aghast, even though it would be something that perhaps I am inclined to do. So I would not help that child. And so the empathetic nature that I may have, whatever that may be...
So you're telling me you can feel empathy?
Oh, there are times. Not always. When I'm... Especially when it has to do with violence against adults. I have no real feeling about that. I find it interesting. I'm not saying that I would go out and commit that kind of act, but, for instance, Walter Belhaven, who is a very good friend of mine and is still incarcerated at Tascadero, he's technically a serial murderer. Walter would go on for days, telling me about the people that he had dispatched, to give it a polite term, no, seriously, he would, and he and I would talk about it as if we were discussing, a good place to fish, a great campground.
No, that's what we hear about psychopaths, that there is a dispassionate lack of feeling, so that's what I'm saying. It sounds to me like you are a psychopath.
I think you would be right, except for, as I mentioned to you, those moments... those islands of feeling. Islands of feeling, as Dr. Savick called it when I was at the task desk. He said to me, Herb, it's not that you're completely unfeeling. You do have these islands of humanity, which Walter, for instance, does not have. Randall Toomey was another very interesting man that I was in prison with. He was a serial murderer. He had no island of humanity in him at all, but I occasionally had these islands of humanity, as Dr. Southey called it. So,
all right, I don't want to get off into too much of a thing, but I just wanted to know why they put you in a place like a Tascadero as opposed to a regular prison.
Well, probably if I was in a regular prison, I would not have survived. I think that, I have to thank the state of California for that. But
well, I don't think anybody in the judicial system probably cared much one way or the other, right?
No, they probably didn't. No.
So they put you up there thinking you might be rehabilitated or cured. All right. I don't want to get off too much into what, your situation is. It's very clear. We're back talking about George Zimmerman here with Herb Sewell. And we're going to take some phone calls, too. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Safety and location at issue if Zimmerman is released on bond. After spending a week in a jail cell by himself, the Neighborhood Watch volunteer charged with murdering Trevon Martin stands a good chance of being granted bail on Friday, despite the severity of the second-degree murder charge that he faces, and whether George Zimmerman is allowed to leave the county as he awaits trial, and how he would remain safe are two questions likely to be at the center of the hearing at the Seminole County Criminal Justice Center, legal experts say. He may not want to be released.
Well, I think that would be a mistake. I think that he should be released, and I think he should want to be released. And I know, just hear me out for a moment. I think he should want to be released, and I think he should have security that stands enough at a distance so that there is a possibility that he could be roughed up. I'm not talking about being shot. I'm not even talking about being beat up. But I think if he's roughed up a little bit, I think if he's knocked to the ground, I think that George Zimmerman has to suffer something like that. I think he has to make himself a target. I really do. I think he has to make himself a target so that he becomes sympathetic in the view and in the mind and in the eyes of the people that are watching him from afar, watching him through the media, watching through the different kind of media, and making up their own mind as to the guilt or innocence of this man. And that is something you are not going to be able to do unless you actually do it. Now,
let me bring up the name of someone who was accused of a vicious crime, a horrible crime, who was assaulted and was killed, and that was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes.
All right. Lee Harvey Oswald died at the hands of a guy that was a big Kennedy supporter, a man who loved President Kennedy. Do you think that people's opinion of Lee Harvey Oswald changed?
Oh, without question it changed. He went from being the only man that killed Kennedy. There was a whole conspiracy theory And he was a foil. He was a pawn. He was simply a man being moved around by the CIA. Oh, yes, absolutely, people had sympathy for him. And I think that that is what George Zimmerman has got to hope for.
All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. And our number, 877-876-7445. Should George Zimmerman suffer an assault of some kind to make himself sympathetic? The Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
And so, oh, we're not on the air.
Our number 877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here. Herb Sewell has joined us as we talk about George Zimmerman and whether or not he's going to be out on bail tomorrow. The consideration is the following. It would be not wise to grant him bail because he may not be safe as a free man, or at least a man who is no longer locked up and being held for trial. That out there in the world, he would be unsafe. It would be unsafe because of the passions that are running very, very high around this case. Herb is on with us saying, well, and Herb, you recognize that it's easy to say, why don't you go out of jail, you know, get out of jail and risk the assault? Because I just told you, Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't even out of jail. He was being transported someplace.
Well, I mean, and I think that bears scrutiny. And I'll tell you why. I'm talking about a man who's been released on bail and would be out as a free man, according to the ruling of the judicial system of this country. And then what happens is he is assaulted. Now comes that moment where suddenly a bad man becomes a man that people have sympathy for. And I think that that's the best possible thing that George Zimmerman can do is to try to get some of that sympathy back this way. Now, because you have to understand something. Like Oswald, when you kill someone who is admired or who is supported or who is loved or who is, in many ways, when people look at you, they see you, and then when they look at the person that you killed, they see a bigger and better person. That was the case, of course, with John Kennedy and Lee Harvey. Lee Harvey Oswald, compared to John Kennedy, was a worm. He was an earthworm. He was a bug. He was an insect. And no hope to rehabilitate his public image unless he was sacrificed on the altar of mob violence. And you see what I'm saying. Now you have George Zimmerman. Compared to Trayvon Martin, a young man who has lost his life, the representation of youth, if you will, a young man who was talking to his girlfriend, a young man who had a mother and a father, a young man who had, was starting his life out, a young man who was simply holding on to Skittles. Compared to that, George Zimmerman, again, we have to be honest, he's like an insect. He's like something small, something insignificant, something that, something that you would wipe off the bottom of your shoe if you would. How do you counter that?
Well, you're saying that you have to sacrifice yourself.
Not in Zimmerman's case, necessarily, because he'd be a free man. He wouldn't be transported between jails as Lee Harvey Oswald. With Lee Harvey Oswald, the bug was being moved from one garbage heap to the next. In the case of George Zimmerman, if you will, forgive me, I don't mean anything personal by this, but just to use the phrase, in the case of George Zimmerman, that insect is being let out of the garbage dump, and he gets to roam free.
Well, the idea that he's an insect.
But again, Lee Harvey Oswald, John Kennedy, George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin and John Kennedy are people who are now have passed into. They have passed into history, and they are bigger than life, and more powerful. And hence, they make the other look like a bug.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. We're talking here to Herb Sewell, and I'm going to get Marilyn on the line here. Marilyn, go ahead.
Oh, hello, Phil. This is Marilyn Donnelly.
And I've spoken to you before on the show. Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm very interested in the conversation you're having here this evening. I wanted to address my comments to this gentleman, Mr. Sewell.
them.
You said that this man, Mr. Zimmerman, should sacrifice himself in order that he might get the moral high ground or the moral elevated moral position in this case. And I fail to see how that would happen other than the fact that he would be a lynched, as you put the word, a lynched bad man. Many people want to see that happen. So how do you know he's going to reclaim any kind of moral high ground?
Again, I used the example, and may I ask you a question? It's only because of my experience when I was in jail.
I would appreciate it if you'd answer my question first before you ask your question.
My point was more to what Phil was saying. That is that Lee Harvey Oswald is a worm. As I said, he was an insect being transported from one part of the garbage dump to another. Lee Harvey Oswald became much, much bigger in death. Lee Harvey Oswald became a man that was essentially a pawn of the CIA, or moved about the chessboard by the diplomatic corps, by the secret service, so on and so forth. And Lee Harvey Oswald did very much become a sympathetic figure. And I think that the same would be true of George Zimmerman. Now, could I ask you a question?
Well, yes. I wanted to make one comment.
Go ahead.
I don't see how George Zimmerman would become sympathetic. I will tell you that certainly if he lost his life.
That's my point. If he lost his life, I don't want to see a lynch mob.
Yeah, and the more we talk about this, the more uncomfortable I get, you know.
Well, that is my point.
In what way?
Well, I just don't like openly talking about this.
Well, you know, first of all, Phil, you know that some people think about that.
But I don't. I still am not convinced that George Zimmerman would become a sympathetic character simply because someone. What was your question, anyway?
Yes, my question for you. Your name is Marilyn, right?
Yes, it is.
And because of the time I spent in prison, are you transgender?
I'm pre-surgical.
Oh, all right. So I was right. You are still technically a man.
No, I present as a woman. I'm a woman now, but I am pre-operative. I do present as a woman.
Present as a woman, all right. I saw a lot of these, these characters.
Excuse me, but I'm not a character.
I understand that, but I saw a great many men in prison who, by the way, fell in the state of California. Your listeners might be very interested to know that in the state of California, you have to pay for these sex change operations.
I'm not in prison.
Who's paying for your sex change?
I am. My insurance is.
Oh, you're not in prison.
No, she's not in prison. You were in prison.
Well, in prison, I met a lot of these guys. They wanted to get this kind of operation, but
I would like to ask you a question if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
When you are thinking or when you are talking, you go into a very there is a rather irritating moment when you will say, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the way that Herb you talk. You know, you're aware of that?
I'm not aware of what?
When you are answering questions or when you're talking, you will say and another thing.
I say most people say,
No, she's right. You go,
Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, it sounds retarded. And
you're right, it does sound retarded. That's why I'm wondering.
No, I mean, what you're saying...
No, Herb, take it from me. When you are talking, you will go, You'll be talking.
I'm saying the word, it's not a word. It's an expressive sound... right there? You mean like that?
You hear you went, and then you stopped yourself.
No, I didn't go, I think I know what you mean.
You did. You went, and then you stopped yourself.
You did. You did, Herb. You went, and then you recognized what it was.
Anyway, I didn't go, Here's what the problem I'm having. If you want to make me sound like I'm some kind of spaz,
I didn't use that word at all, sir. I just simply said that you go,
all right, so you asked me why I do that.
Yes, why do you do that?
You know that I got electroshock when I was in inside.
Okay.
Oh, look at this. So you've got it figured out, huh?
Well, that would certainly explain it.
Well, no, I don't understand. What is it?
I got electroshock when I was at Atascadero. And it's like right now. It's difficult for me to find the next word. And so sometimes I will, instead of going, because I don't want to sound like a drooling animal, I'll simply go, like that. It makes more comfortable.
Well, it sounds very strange. It's almost as if you've got, you've gone into brain lock or something.
Yeah, but I don't want to go,
Well, it doesn't sound that bad.
What? When I go, or when I go,
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the electroshock that I had. Can you get rid of her, please?
Oh, what is your problem with me?
Because I knew a million guys like you inside, all of you jockeying to have one installed, just so you might get some better treatment.
Oh, so in other words, you're saying I'm going to have one installed because I what? Because I want to be treated better? You're absolutely right. I'm a woman, and I do want to be treated better.
No, I mean in prison, not necessarily you.
What do you mean in one installed?
Three guesses.
So, in other words, let's get off of that, Herb. I don't want to hear about your prejudices involving prison. I just, the lady asked a question.
The lady, yeah.
Well, Mr. Henry's being polite, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the lady. She asked a question about you going, and you're saying you do it on purpose.
I don't know I'm doing it, but I think I'm doing it in reaction to the electroshock and the insulin shock that I got in prison because they got their kicks strapping me to a table and feeding me with electricity. Do you understand? That's how they get their laughs up there.
I dare say they're not getting their laughs.
This is it's a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, yeah, sure. In any event, they strap me down, and it causes me, from time to time, to have a difficult time finding the next word, and I will sometimes go, like I just did. So rather than sound like a drooler, like an animal, like a mindless animal, like Bellhaven, like Toomey, like so many guys that I left behind, they sound like mindless animals after they come out of that electroshock. They're like this, That's what they sound like. So I want to sound like a human being for a change. Just for a change. And so I go,
Oh, yeah, that sounds real human.
Well, you know something, Butch.
All right, hold on, and thank you, Marilyn. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Unbelievable. All right, we'll be right back. The
Truth
world famous,
is
so I don't
bitch.
Sound like a mindless animal.
The Phil Hendry Show.
He sounds like a mindless animal now.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. As we wrap up our final segment here, we are talking with Herb Sewell, who is a contributor of ours on all kinds of issues having to do with crime and punishment and some of the seedier aspects of criminality. Mr. Sewell himself was imprisoned. He was remanded to a psychiatric hospital, a forensic hospital, for 8 years as the result of his conviction on child molestation, child pornography, and so forth, Herb. I've got on the line, Herb, Bunny Bellhaven, who I know is... Walter's wife.
Bunny, I'd love to talk with Bunny.
And Bunny, how are you?
Hi, Phil. Very good. Thank you for having me on your program.
Good. And,
Bunny, it's Herb Sewell.
Oh, Herb, how are you? Walter was talking to me today about some books that you were going to send him.
I want to send him, I want to send him the Botany. I'm going to send him the Sierra Club, but he also wanted the Botany book, and I've got the John Muir book.
Yeah, he was talking about that, so I went and I saw him today.
Ms. Bellhaven, it's interesting that you're calling in. Were you calling in about the Zimmerman case?
Well, I was listening to Herb talking about his time at Atascadero, and as you know, my husband is currently incarcerated at Atascadero, and what Herb says is true. There's a level of, I think that there is a level of treatment there that sometimes can blur the line into a kind of abuse, and you know that we are talking so much these days about torture and you know the mistreatment of people that We have this every day in our prisons across this country.
Well, let me just jump in here, Bunny, and say it. I appreciate that, but you know you're not going to change it.
Oh, I know you're not going to change that, but my husband, Walter, who has been incarcerated still in the state of California since 1991.
Now, your husband has been accused of some horrifying crimes, and he was convicted of some horrifying crimes.
And Walter does not deny any of it. And Walter would be the very first person to tell you that he should never be let out.
And that is true. I've spoken with Walter myself, and Walter has said, never let me out. Tell them, don't let me out.
Yeah, well, that has been, it's almost like a mantra with him. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I would call it a mantra. He says, please, Herb, when you get up to administration, whoever you see there wearing a suit, tell them, don't let Belhaven out.
Yeah, and that's all right.
Well, how do you feel about that, Bunny? You're his wife.
Well, that's all right. We don't get conjugal visits, but we're at an age right now, it really doesn't matter anymore. Anyway, I don't really care. What I mostly care about is Walter's collection, and we went to court against the state of California. We were able to win.
By the way, congratulations on that, Bunny. It was outstanding.
We had a very good lawyer.
And what was this case?
It was a forensic artifact that Walter took possession of. The state of California said that it was there. It had nothing to do whatsoever with the crimes that Walter committed.
It was a skull, Phil. Basically, it was a human skull.
Yes, it was a human skull. It belonged to my husband.
And it was a human skull that was introduced as evidence?
No, it was never introduced as any evidence. It was never a part of any case against Walter. It was simply a human skull that he had in his possession, and they were never able to track it to any crime.
Well, what is he doing with a human skull?
That's not the point, you know.
I've got it, Herb. Hold on. That's not the point, Phil. The point is it was my husband's possession, and it belonged to him.
But don't you ever wonder, don't you ever wonder what your husband's doing with a human skull, like whose it is?
No, I don't. I never asked my husband. I never got into my husband's business like that. I understand he committed some terrible crimes, but there was nothing I was going to be able to do about it.
You're never going to be able to stop him.
No, I was never going to stop him, and that was his life. But when Walter had this skull, and the Oakland police wanted this skull, I said, well, we're going to go to court. And
so you guys went to court to protect your husband's right to have this skull.
That's exactly correct. And
I got it, Herb.
I know, but I followed the case very closely while I was in Atascadero.
Well, you know, guess who was not in Atascadero?
You.
Ah, bingo. Bingo.
Sorry.
So I wasn't in Atascadero. I paid attention to the case, and we were able to get the skull back.
So where's the skull now?
It's with my husband's personal effects in our home, and we'll be here waiting for him when he gets out. I don't think he's ever going to get out.
Are you, so you've resigned yourself to the fact your husband's in prison or in this forensic hospital for the rest of his life?
Well, I think at some point they'll probably remove him from Atascadero to put him in more minimum security.
But that's dicey when it comes to Walter, because he is a very much a flight risk, and he's very much an escape risk.
Because the one time at Lone Park he got into Santa Barbara, and
Did he escape from Lompoc?
He did escape from Lompoc. He made it as far as Santa Barbara, but he wasn't out 2 hours. He'd already killed 4 people.
Good God!
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've never hidden what Walter's about. And
he killed 4? He was out... give me this again.
He escaped minimum security. It wasn't Lompoc. It was someplace else. I forget where. It might have been some smaller work camp or something like that. And he got as far as Santa Barbara, and within 2 hours, he'd slaughtered 4 people, I think, and stolen, a semi?
Yeah, he stole a semi. It was a supermarket truck, and went on a joyride.
With the bodies in the back, Phil. Understand that this was a supermarket refrigerated truck. He kills 4 people, throws them into the refrigerated back, and it goes on a joyride.
In other words, trying to get caught.
Well, he didn't care whether he got caught or not. He knew he was probably going to get caught. But he just took a joyride.
He got as far as Phoenix, Arizona.
He got as far as Phoenix, Arizona in a truck and trailer with 4 dead bodies in a refrigerated back end that he killed.
That's right. And you know, I talked to him, Bunny. I don't know if Walter ever told you the story, but we were talking, and I said to him, hey, Walter, what were you doing with the refrigerator. I just want to keep it fresh. Do you have to tell you that?
No, I didn't hear the part about what?
I said I wanted to keep them fresh. I said, fresh? They're frozen. frozen. Yeah, have you ever had fresh seafood?
You know what, Herb, you're just not that funny.
In any event, Phil.
All right, well, so it's a good thing he's locked up. And you have the skull back, and so you're just, you visit your husband, and that's it, huh?
Well, the reason I came out, we do have a chili to cook out, Herb. It's coming up on Sunday. And this is a chili cookout that we have at our home for guys that were on that ward with Herb and with Walter and Randall Toomey. And if Randall can't be there, his wife's going to be there. So some of the guys are inside.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Bunny Bellhaven, who I guess is having her annual chili cook-off, or not cook-off, cook-out, whatever, for these nuts. All right, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jeff Dowder coming up. 420 is on the table as our topic next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Chili cook-off.
Phil Henry.
What do I wear?